John chapter 14, verse 1. Did anybody in here like promises? I like promises, but I like promises from people who are going to keep them. Amen? God keeps his promises. And I like a promise from God. And I'm going to give y'all some big, broad perspective. And then I'm going to give you a narrow, how God does it in a narrow context. I don't know if I said, I should have said context there. So John chapter 14, verse 1, and I'll read. It should sound something like this to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Is that it? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If you're a Christian, man, you should just go ahead and put that in the bank. People that have passed on, you got a promise of where they're at. When you pass on, you've got a promise of where you'll be. No matter what. No matter what. No matter what happens. I mean, I know it says, let not your heart be troubled. God's not talking about your blood pumper. He's talking about your mind, the heart of your mind. He said there, don't get so worried about every little thing that's going on. You can believe in me like they believed in God. Let's put some context. I want to give y'all some stuff that, and I'm not going to have y'all running all over the Bible unless you just want to, if you just feel froggy and want to run there, Genesis chapter 3, this is about 4,000 years prior to the cross. 4,000 years prior to Jesus coming. Amen? Listen to what he's, and this is right after the fall of Adam. In the midst of that, while that was going on, right during the time that they tried to cover themselves, God does this in verse, it's Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and thy woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That thou shalt bruise his, that his right there, that's the first cameo appearance of Jesus Christ in the Bible. Well, that's God and Jesus, amen? When he says his, that means one day there will be a man born of a woman. He'll be of royal seed. Amen? And guess what? You'll bruise him at Calvary, but he'll crush you with his heel. Whew. I don't know about you, but that kind of solidifies something for me. God makes promises and he keeps them. That's big context. When the first man said, I'm going to sin and let everybody down, God said, don't worry, there's a second man coming. And where the first man failed, the second man will not fail. Through his sin, many will be perishing. But through Jesus' obedience, all that believe on him shall not perish. Man. Now, see, we in the modern church, matter of fact, in the modern world, we give more credence to Adam than we do Jesus. Because a lot of times people say, well, I think he sinned, he might have messed up, he might not be saved anymore. Amen? So you're giving more power to Adam's mistake over Jesus' obedience at the cross. One man's disobedience at one tree, you're saying, has more power than another man's obedience at a tree called the cross. Well, I don't know why we're not shouting a bunch, but every once in a while I like to thank God that I'm saved through Jesus Christ's obedience. And no matter what, I'm saved through that. Thank God. Amen. And if you would, you go to Psalms 22. This is about 1,000 years. I know 1,000 ain't much. How many of you are 1,000 years old? How many of you feel 1,000? Amen. That's different. Amen. I ain't going to read the whole psalm, but Psalm 22, and let's jump down. I'll start at verse 14. It says, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to the jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of the death, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones that look and stare upon me. Verse 18, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Hope I just sprung something in your mind right there. About 1,000 years out, Jesus gave the exact description of what they would do to him at Calvary before any of that was even relevant. The Roman Empire were the first people who ever came up with the death sentence of crucifixion. And Jesus here, God here, 1,000 years promises the death of his son Jesus on a cross. They pierced my hands and feet. Then he goes a step further and said, and they cast lot for my vesture right there in front of him. He's saying, look, I'm going to promise you, not only will he be born, but he'll die on a cross. And I could sit here all night and go through one prophetic after another, messianic prophetic. I could go to Daniel and show you how Daniel seen the first coming and the second coming of Jesus. I could go to Isaiah and show you the first coming and the second coming of Jesus Christ in Isaiah. 800 to 1,000 years. Daniel's is about 2,000 years. Amen? And God was just promising there's a Messiah coming, there's a Messiah dying, and then guess what? There's a second part of that. There's a Messiah coming again for those that believe in him. Whew. Man, that's good stuff. Let's roll down the context. Let's roll it down. Let's crush the context a little bit more. I like a little context with my reading. Amen? Let's go above, right above 14. I want to show you something. In John 13, verse 38. Matter of fact, let's do 37 and 38, give you even more. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Boy, he sounds good, don't he? I thought about this. So the first thing is weird I'm reading this. I wasn't even going to read this part. First thing I got up this morning, I wanted to say this to somebody. I said, man, be careful how spiritual you talk. Because eventually somebody's going to require that of your walk. Have you ever met people that all they do is they just tell you one spiritual thing after another? It sounds like it sounds like the person who stamped out bumper stickers for Christians. I'm just being real with you. I mean, you run into them, you say, well, you know, if I was stranded on a desert island, what would you want? And they go, spiritual, just love my, have my Bible. I'd like to have some meals ready to eat. Amen? I like to have a helicopter and a pilot. Oh, I'm sorry. Amen? I mean, I'm just it would be terrible. Golly. Charlie, I shouldn't do this. I'd hate to have my Bible. Oh, preacher done did it. I'd hate to have my Bible. What would I do with it? I want to start fire. Oh, goodness gracious. Never mind. I'll be leaving right there. Could you imagine, though, how spiritual you'd stop being? Sometimes? If you just let, hey, wait a minute, before I give a spiritual answer to everything, let me think about if my body and my mind and my ability can write the check that I'm speaking. Peter, I'll go with you even unto the death, Lord. Man, he sounded good in that upper room. Man, rest of you boys, you can have the scraps. Jesus went in 38, right? Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for me, for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Hey, you're going to deny me three times before sunup, Peter. That spiritual, that thing you just said, that sounded good, and I know you want to. You want to, but you can't. think about that. Sometimes you need to say, wait a minute, Lord, before I open my mouth and put myself out there, look, can I do it? Amen. Can I do it? Can I do that? He just tells him. That's the context of where we were. Now, let me show you another thing real quick before. Let's go a little bit behind that. It says, whether I go, you know, this is verse 4, verse 5. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Amen. I love Thomas. I love teaching on Thomas. Thomas, he was one of them people, he would say it out loud, but he was quite the opposite of Peter. He would actually say something that, like, you thought that he was giving up on God, but his body was actually going with God. Amen. He was quite the opposite. He'd say something very sarcastic. Yeah, let's all go up there where we can all die, Jesus. Good job. Amen? But guess what? He's still going. Amen? He said, when we go up there, they're surely trying to put us to death. And Jesus says, now we're going up there because our brother Lazarus needs us. He's like, yeah, let's go up there where we all die. That's great. Could you imagine having that guy? You got one who's super spiritual. Lord, I'll lead the way. And the other one's like, yeah, lead us on up there. We'll all die. Man, but they're still both going. Well, all right, now let's crush it back down in context. I know I'm sitting here and you go, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about this. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. When? When you over-promise and under-deliver. And under-promise and over-deliver. When you believe and when you don't believe. When you walk it out and when you don't walk it out. If your mind, don't let your heart be troubled. Golly, bum. Y'all get that? I need that. I need that in my life. Because praise God, I hate to tell you this, every day is not a great day. Amen. Every day, I don't ring the bell every day. I don't hit the mark every day. I know I'm not God's favorite kid every day. I need this. Let not your heart be troubled. He just told Peter, guess what? Before the morning time, we usually slice and dice this up and make it so, I mean, we just do, hey, forget chapter 13 and 14 together. You know what I mean? Let's just separate them. There is no separation. I mean, Peter just tells him, you are going to fail me big time. Don't let your heart be troubled. Man, do you need that? I need that kind of stuff. I mean, I think I let God down more than anybody. And I still need to know that I don't have to sit there and worry about whether he loves me or not. I don't have to worry about if his promises are still good to me or not. I don't have to worry about him giving me something and taking it away. And giving it to me and taking it away. Oh, I did good this week. I didn't do good this week. I don't care if everybody, if you're a born-again believer and you're sitting there going, I ain't even going to say that part. If you're a born-again believer, people say, I just don't think you got it. I don't care what you think. If I got it, the promise is still there. Golly bum. I'm going to keep preaching. I'll just keep digging around. When I don't meet everybody's expectations, I still get the promise of God. When I let everybody down, when I let myself down and my wife and my kids and God and everybody and people say, well, I just don't know. When I act a fool, I know y'all don't do it. You don't do it here. Well, not most of you don't do it here. But I'd love to see some of you behind. I'd love to see some of y'all lose it. I guarantee you don't talk about it as much. But pray God, your promises are still there. You. I mean, Peter Stan, I am going to go all the way for you, Lord. Not even tonight. Not one time. Not two times. Three times. And he did. I mean, and he did. And guess what? I love that story so much. On the last one, he gets to look right across the room. And guess who's looking at him? Could you imagine? He's warmed himself by a heater. Jesus is being spit upon and beaten and slapped and criticized and blindfolded. I don't know when they took the blindfold off, but that little lady comes up. I said, she did it. She goes, you sound familiar. That's a bad thing about being a preacher and the loudest one. You just sound familiar. Shut up. You don't know who you're talking about. I don't even know this guy. And all of a sudden, he looks right across the room, and guess who's catching his gaze? It's all right, Peter. The promise still resides. It's all right. The promise is still there. My God, y'all feel that? The promise wouldn't, it was from me, it was from God. It goes through the cross. It ain't depending on your ability. It ain't how good of a Christian you are or how good of a believer you are depending on the promises are kept. It's all dependent on me. That's what God was saying. That's what Jesus, it's all about me. It ain't about you. You couldn't go to the cross with me anyway. Amen? Sure, I'm kind of glad of that. And you see Thomas, some of them, they didn't even make it. See, when he was explaining to them, when they he couldn't go with him, he would deny him three times. You know what he told the rest of them? He said, don't feel so big about the rest of you because y'all took off running. Amen? John run out of his clothes. Amen? I mean, he's running through the woods at a dead sprint without no clothes. They grabbed his outer garment. Man, I mean, could you imagine how spiritual you got to feel? In the wood, just running. Hey, man, promise still resides. I can tell you, I'm a Thomas. I'm promising, I'm Thomas to a T. I'm walking through the woods after that whole deal. I could have told him. I mean, I really could have told him. I mean, this is the way it was going to go down. I'm going to be at the crucifixion. I'm going to stand right over there and see what I can get in. But I'm going to be there. But I could have told him. Here we are. You better know who you are in the Bible. That's who I've been. I knew this was going to be the outcome. But I love him so much. I'll go past my rationale, my common sense. I love Jesus more than my common sense. Amen? For all the reasoning and A-type personality, and I wouldn't do it that way. Y'all, Jesus, I wouldn't do it that way. We'll do it your way. Amen? Y'all, just look at it. In my Father's house are many mansions. Aren't you glad of that? When we get to heaven, I hate to tell you this, when we get to heaven, everybody ain't going to be the same. Everybody ain't going to be the same. This group, that group, all this denomination, that church, this church. Nope, it's everybody who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Everybody. And man, when you get there, you are going to be blown away. You are going to see people and things, and you're going to go, wow, I cannot believe this. Amen? I believe there's going to be so many kids. There's going to be so many kids there, it'll baffle you. You say, why are there going to be so many kids there? Yeah, because America, the abortion mills are probably sending more people to heaven than Jesus, than the church is. Amen? And every one of these people who think, well, it won't matter, it's a lie, I'm with a woman, I'm with this. Guess what? God, Jesus said, don't worry, I'll take care of it all. I'll take care of every bit of it. Every one of them. See, when you shed innocent blood, Jesus said, I can take care of the whole thing. See, but God can hear blood. It cries out to him. And every one of them children who weren't given a chance, God will defend them one day. And Lord help. And he said, well, are you mad against people who have had abortions? No. I believe there's forgiveness of that. There's forgiveness for people that had abortions. But there's not forgiveness of people who are continue to do abortions and to continue to have abortions and don't get forgiven of their sins. They will give an account for that life. It's murder. Amen? I'm not a spineless. I'm not a jellyfish preacher. I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to sit here and say, well, this and that. Listen, if you kill children, you're in trouble before God. That's a fact. That's a fact. We get to heaven, we're going to be blown away. There's going to be Africans, Chinese, Japanese. There's going to be, if you don't like people, you're going to be in the wrong spot. Amen? You're going to see all kinds of people. And you know what? And I ain't being funny, but there's going to be some denominations there that we didn't think was going to be there, and some of them that thought we weren't going to be there, and they'll be sitting there going, man, I can't believe y'all got in. And we're going to be sitting over there and going, I can't believe you got in. Amen? You know how they got in? By believing in Jesus Christ. they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There's going to be some people who got saved when they were 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, and there's going to be some people who got saved with their last breath. There's going to be some people who the last thing they knew about was a plane flying into a building. And they were stuck up on the 110th floor with no way out. And guess who met them there? There was a man walking through the aisle saying, "Is there anybody else that want to take up on that thing that you didn't believe in all these years? I'll take it. I'll take it. I'll take it." That's who Jesus is. Many mansions. Many mansions. Many rooms. Many houses. "If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." My goodness, I don't know about you, but I've got a construction thing going on in heaven, and I'm excited about it. I don't know what God's got in store for me, but praise God, He's working on it right now. And the minute He gets done with it, He's coming to get me to move in. Man, that'll be a day. We'll be sad. I can't believe it. And the minute we take our last breath and we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we won't walk through the pain, we'll walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We'll open up our eyes and we'll be standing in front of our mansion and our place that God prepared for us. And the first thing, I guarantee you, we're going to say, "Thank you, Jesus." And then right after that, we'll say, "Man, I've been dreading to come here my whole life. My God, I can't wait for everybody to get here." Amen. I can't wait for everybody to get here because they're going to be blown away. Some of y'all say, "Man, I'll bet so-and-so would like to come back." They're sitting there going, no. Come over here. You ain't even started living yet. Amen? You get that. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all get that new glorified body. Woo! That's living. Amen? Listen, that's a promise from God. If He can keep every single promise of this Bible, He can keep the promise that He's got a place for you. If you're saved, man, financial troubles, legal troubles, marriage troubles, kid troubles, I don't know what kind of troubles you got, but praise God, every once in a while, it wouldn't hurt you to lift your hand up. Hey, I'm talking to you. Lift your hand up every once in a while when you feel overwhelmed and say, "Hey, I got a better thing coming." Because when you pass away, praise God, all this stuff is done. Man, that'll be good. I'll thank God, and my wife, if she's here, she'd say, "Amen." I'm not going to watch one news channel when I get to heaven. Thank God. I mean, think. You know how much time I've wasted on what other people think? I don't know if this is going to happen. I don't know what these people think. I don't know what they think. And man, the minute you're out of there, you're like, it don't really matter. Amen? Oh, I don't know about you, but there's some exciting stuff in there. There's some exciting stuff in there. We got promises. If we live on promises, then we don't live on this feeling roller coaster. Amen? I like to plant my stuff on the promises of God, not how I feel from day to day. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." You know what he's saying? Man, there's going to be two groups of people. I'm being honest with you, I'm not this typical. I don't care. I don't care if this world rocks on for another 5 or 6,000 years. I don't. It don't look like it. But if it does, I'm all right. I'll be in glory. Amen. Or if I'm a part of that select few that do get to see that eastern sky open up, hallelujah to that too. Amen. Hallelujah to that too. Then I'll get to see the second coming. See, the first one, they were all standing there and Jesus started ascending up into heaven. The apostles, they're standing there like, "Man, look at that." And all of a sudden, as he had ascended up so high, there was an angel appeared beside him. And I love God. His angels are messengers, and God does have a sense of humor. He does. If you don't think he does, read the Bible. You'll change your mind. He looks at him and says, "What are you guys standing here looking up at?" What are you talking about? What are you looking at? Right? We're just looking at God. We're looking at Jesus ascending up to glory. That same Jesus will return in like manner. There's another promise. One day, just like that, he'll come back down. Whew, man, I can't wait to see all the faces of the people who said it ain't real. Amen? Boy, when my big brother Jesus steps out on the eastern sky, and everybody says, well, I don't believe in this, I don't believe in that, prove it this. I'm saying, well, they're right there, look at him. Amen? There's where my faith ends in sight, right there. Amen? Oh, goodness gracious. All them people said, you ain't got no life. Well, see, I have a life. It's just hid in Christ Jesus right now. Amen? My life's hid in Christ Jesus. Sometimes my life looks kind of boring. You know, you're doing this and doing that, reading the Bible, going to church. And one of these days, when I'm standing on that eastern sky with Jesus, I'm like, hey, how you like me now? Huh? I'm living pretty good now, ain't we? I got a mansion I probably won't ever get into because the sun don't never go down. It don't rain. Oh, never mind. Some of y'all house bodies, y'all be in there like, whoa, man, me, I don't know if I'll ever go into a house again. Let's finish it up. I love this. Verse 5 is Thomas. Again, that's the context I gave you. Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Are you not glad that Jesus is patient too? Because it had been easy for him to say, would you just be quiet? You don't know nothing. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. I am the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know what he just flat out told him? He said, Thomas and the rest of you, you believe in me, I'm the way. I love how Jesus, he don't try. Somebody said, well, don't you have any deep theological stuff? Don't you have some stuff, I mean, that you really get there? I like to, I run into people all the time, I really like to get deep in theology. You know what I like? I like the gospel. It's so simple and so powerful that God became a man and died for my sins. And then on my dumbest days, whew, on the days where I'm like, hey, God, I can't figure it out, he'll sit down right in front of me and say, hey, Kevin, don't worry. I'm the way. I'm the way. You ain't got to be that good. You ain't got to be that good. You ain't got to be that smart. You ain't got to perform for me. Did you come through the door? Man, y'all know, I hope y'all know by now. If you don't know, here it is again. I like theological stuff that says there's only one door and I'm it. Amen? If you come through this door, then you're mine. If you try to come any other way, you're a thief and a robber. And somebody says, well, how do you know you got Jesus? How do you know you're going to heaven? How do you know? I went through the door. I did. I came right to the door and said, hey, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm guilty of probably every one of the laws that you've gotten. And I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want you to forgive me of my sins. I want you to be a part of my life. I want you to be in here, and I want to be in you. And you know what he did? Saved me, and he just opened the door. You know what now? I'm in because I came through the door. And that's just the truth. Amen? So if you're troubled tonight, don't be troubled. Believe in Jesus like they believed in God. Because guess what? He's preparing a place for you. Let's all stand as they come give a song.